And good morning. This is what I call WRJN's historical marker. These are people who worked here in the past. We're coming up to the 100th anniversary of WRJN. December 6th of next year, we begin our 100th year. And we're trying to get all the people that worked here over the years before it's too late. I hate to say it like that, but before it's too late. Because, you know, it's a reality. People pass away. And when you're dealing with a 100-year-old radio station, you lose a lot of people. So we're not going to do that with Tom Mountain today. He's our WRJN historical marker number 14. And joining us is our former news director, Tom Carco, who's got all the history of everybody. So Tom is here when we do these. And thanks for joining us, Tom. There were two Toms here. So Tom Mountain. Tom. Yeah, thanks for joining us. I do appreciate you coming down here. So you still work, but you work at the casino, right?
Right.
In Milwaukee. What do you do there?
Concierge.
Concierge. Oh, I like what he said.
We have an 1833 club, and I sit at the door and make sure that they belong in the room.
Let me see if you're on the list or not. Yeah. Don Rosen.
Goodbye.
You're the muscle? You're the muscle?
Not the bouncer. We have security.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Don Rosen, you're not on the list. Security, please.
Guys, him.
So let's talk about your years here. Now, you started here, according to Tom's notes. You didn't remember when you started here, but you actually started in 1987. How'd you wind up here?
How did I wind up here?
Yeah.
I went back to school at the age of 30. I went through the radio degree program at Gateway, and we were just talking about Dick Whelan. He was my instructor there, and we had a radio station right there connected with the school, which was WGTD.
Still there?
And I said, why aren't we working over there? You know, the students, I mean, getting some experience. So I opened the door one day and walked in there, and they hired me, and that was really my kind of unofficial start in radio.
But how'd you get here to WRJN?
Well, I set out resumes everywhere, even Pennsylvania, Oil City, and Franklin, Pennsylvania. I think they're the Twin Cities.
Oil City.
Yeah, Oil City. And I got there, and I spent the overnight, and the next day I went back to the station, and I said, well, how much were you thinking of getting, you know, as far as a wage? And I said, no, don't get too crazy, Tom. You know, this is your first time out. I said, $4.50 an hour.
That's about what I'm getting now. Yeah, yeah.
Not far. And the guy said, oh, we reserve that for our top people. Oh, man. I said, okay, well, goodbye. Then you're just doing that routine about, you know, something talking, and out the door I went, yeah, goodbye. All right, I got you.
something like that. So who was the program director here when Tom Mountain started?
That's an 87 program director. That would have been...
You're not ready for that question, were you?
Wasn't it Ron?
I think Ron
Richards was the program director.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's who hired you, Ron Richards?
I assume.
Or the GM.
I'm 73 now, Don. I have short-term and long-term memory loss.
So who would have been the general manager then?
In 87?
Yeah.
That was Dex.
Dex Card? Okay.
Dex Card was the owner, general manager.
Now, when you came here, were you a talk show host or a disc jockey?
No, music.
Just disc jockey?
We used to have the FM right in here running on reel to reel.
Yeah.
Because and every once in a while, you know, they'd get messed up. The tracking would. Yeah. And it would introduce Dolly Parton and, you know, some other person would come on singing. And then you have to go in there and then run this one and then try to get that thing back on track, you know, rewinding tape and... And
it was the reel-to-reel tape decks and the carousels and the cartridges and the whole nine yards.
Oh, yeah,
that was Dex Card.
Yeah. And we even have the cartridges in here. We have to remember where we came
from.
Your
public would look at that and say that's an 8-track.
Yeah, it's not an 8-track,
no,
yeah.
But it's similar.
We have to remember where we came from in this business. Yes. And this is where we came from.
Hey. Oh. You want to go way, way back. Let's talk about the 78 records that were recorded with programming on them. Not just music. Programming. Talk stuff.
I didn't come back that far. Okay, so you came here to WRJN, and we know you're as a talk show host. When did you switch over to talk? What happened there? How did you become a chatterbox?
Who was the gentleman that was on before me doing open line?
87?
Frenchie Boutin.
Frenchie? Before Frenchie?
No, it was Frenchie Boutin.
It was actually Frenchie?
Yeah.
Frenchie did usually afternoons. Bob Cook. It went from 87, let's see, Jim Bradley in 87, I believe. No, 87, no, it's not. Who is that? It was Ron was doing mornings.
Oh, okay.
Because it went from Jim Sorensen to Dave McGrath, then to Jim Bradley, then the ownership change, and then I believe it was Ron doing mornings. And after, I think Bob Cook was still around because Bob retired in the 90s.
Oh, Bob, I remember Bob. Yeah, bring that up.
And,
yeah,
he had very and after that, issues. It would get to the early afternoons and then eventually to Frenchie.
One day I came to work and they dropped me in the
here
on Open Line.
Now, Open Line was a talk show. Literally, anybody can call in.
Right, right. And we didn't have any delay.
I know. Now we could say that. Yeah. Now you had guests at one point too. You had the mayor.
Well, we were just talking about that. Chief Pauline, Mayor Jim Smith
did a lot with Racine Unified.
Did well. Yeah, I did some things with Racine Unified, but National Night Out Against Crime was the one I.
But you know what's different? You didn't do any controversial talk like they have today.
Oh, I couldn't. Where
50% of the people are going to hate what you're saying, the other 50% are going to love it. No matter what you say, it doesn't make a difference. Right. But you didn't have that kind of talk show.
No, it wasn't that way at all. It was more just local. School board, Bernice Thompson.
We'll maybe get to that in a second.
Okay.
Why don't we play something from, we've got some things of what you did back then. And give people an idea of what you sounded like.
Cut number one.
Yeah, let's try
this.
That.
All right.
Buy, sell, trade, give away, or search for a hard-to-find item. It's all possible with Tradio. Every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till noon here on AM 14 WRJN. Hi, this is Tom Mountain, and I'm looking forward to taking your Tradio calls Saturday mornings at 634-9756, 634-WRJN.
Good stuff on weekends.
Same phone number, by the way.
That's when we did stuff on the weekends.
Yeah, I was about to say you had to work weekends.
Oh yeah. One Saturday off a month, I think.
Something like that,
yeah.
And Tradio was like a swap shop show, which we used to have it for years. The problem was now you got the internet.
Yeah.
And it was so much easier to do swapping on the internet fast. You didn't have to, you just say, this is what I want. And 1,000 people came up and gave it to you from all over the country, all over the world. So that kind of did in the swap shop shows.
And those are the kind of programs that we did back then. And it wasn't unique to this station. I mean, many stations around the country did similar things. They just called it something different. So that's the kind of thing that Tom would do on a Saturday when he had to. Or he would do also, let's go to number two, and there would be things like talking to your legislators.
Ask Your Legislator is back on AM 14 WRJN. Hi, this is Tom Mountain, and Mondays are now reserved for our representatives in Madison.
I'd rather stay closer to home. I'd rather be talking about issues that affect us directly, than focus on some type of national issue. I like to bring in the legislators, the local officials, and talk about stuff that's happening right in our own backyard, and that's what we can do with Ask Your Legislator.
Again, there's a show that couldn't tick off anybody. I mean, you can ask your, but it wasn't like today where
you're
it's
talking
so
to your local representatives
when you do a talk show. Yeah,
yeah. And that little clip of you talking, explaining why you like to do that, came from the 70th anniversary program we did at Memorial Hall in 1996. Remember that? No.
Wait a minute. Let me see if I can find it. This all brings back memories. The legislators. I like that because then they could ask them the questions and we could have the answers right there, whether they liked it or not, the answer. But we could have a direct contact with the legislator and the listener. And that way, you're not getting secondhand information from me or one of the listeners. We're getting it straight from the legislator. And I think that was more helpful than anything.
Did people come to you to get on the air, these legislators, or do you have to go out?
Sometimes, yeah.
Were they knocking on your door?
Not that too often.
They weren't knocking on your door?
Okay. Not really.
Because today, a lot of the people knock on our door. Not everybody, but they want to come on.
I don't remember that happening. I mean,
it was a lot easier, I think, back then to get those lawmakers on the air.
Yeah.
Because there was no internet. Now they can go on Twitter,
X, they can do live feeds and things.
They can do everything. They can get on with podcasts. It didn't exist back in the 80s.
Did you talk to the congressman from this district at all?
Sure.
Was that Les Aspin?
What was that again?
Was that Les Aspin?
Yeah, I had him on a couple of times.
Wow.
Yeah, a couple of times. Yeah, Les Aspin. Who was our assemblyman?
Oh, man, it's there's so many.
Was Les Aspin, was he Earth Day? Who was Earth Day? That was Gaylord Nelson.
Les Aspin was well-known in this community for a lot of things that he did for this community.
Well, I heard of his name, and I wasn't even living in the Midwest at that time, and I heard of Les Aspin.
Les Aspin got the first air show in this town.
That's what I remember.
The Blue Angels on the lakefront, because I believe, at the time, was he defense secretary at the time? He helped get had a lot of pull to get the air show and the Blue Angels on the lakefront and the military.
Here's something you did a lot of, remote broadcasts.
Right.
We did a ton of those where you go out and you do the radio show from a store, from an event, whatever it happened to be.
Did mornings with me. We did mornings together.
Was it with Kurt?
Yeah, Kurt Vollmer.
Kurt Vollmer, right, who's still on the station here.
Right. Hey, he's back. I would go out and go into people's kitchens and feed them breakfast.
Did you really?
Yeah. We'd go. I'd interview them at the kitchen table.
People's homes you went to?
Yeah. We'd go to a certain restaurant. I'd come in with the hash browns.
I remember that. Yeah. But you went out and brought it over to their house. I do remember that.
Yeah, it was fun.
Both went out?
No, it was just me. Just remember the
Kurt was back here, and you were.
Yeah, remember the.
Oh, you were the Jim Fowler to Marlon Perkins.
Yeah, I do remember. I remember when you did that. Yeah,
and you were one of the best things that we did was Kurt Vollmer. I don't know if we were talking to anybody from the military, but he talked about doing the military push-up.
I have that.
Yes.
And you're counting them off.
Yes. And you gave me the phone number for the local recruiter, and then we got him in here, and we made Kurt do the push-ups on the air.
The recruiting office was like over at the old Shopko complex in the Westgate Mall, and they didn't have to go that far. Come on over. Yes, they had two Marines, right?
I think so, yeah.
And Kurt Vollmer did push-ups in the studio, and Tom counted them off.
Yeah.
And we used that on one of our.
It's not the ordinary push up. I mean, it was a push up and clap, wasn't it?
Were they real push ups?
Oh, yes. No, they're real push ups. He really did.
You got two Marines.
Well, let's get him in here today and do some more.
Well, when the other anniversaries get closer, we'll maybe resurrect that, and Kurt can listen again.
I remember you were in this studio once when we were having an FCC inspection.
Oh, no.
You remember that?
Yes.
It happened twice when I was here, and both times I had to usher the FCC inspector around, and we don't want people to talk to them. Just let them go about their business. They check the files, they check the station, they check the equipment, and I remember they came in here, and your license wasn't, this is when you had to have licenses on the wall, your license was missing, and I remember I said, Tom, the FCC guy, I said, who's this guy in the air? I said, Tom Mountain. Then where's his license? I said, where's your license, Tom? And you said it was the WGTD. And I remember your response was, should I get off the air? And he said, no, just sit there. Just get us a copy of it. And the funny thing is, it had been there. You took it down to bring the WGTD. And I said, whoa. And the FCC guy said, I saw him writing. We didn't get a fine or anything for it, though.
That was back in the days when it was like in court. You don't offer up anything. You just answer the questions if asked. Right?
I just walked him around. I said, where do you want to go? Show us the file cabinet. Show us this. Show us that. I said, okay.
And then there's a missing license.
And then I walked in here and he looked up at the licenses. He says, who's he? And it was because there was an empty space. And you took it down. Anyway, so that was, we didn't get fined or anything for it. So that was okay. What's the third cut on here?
Oh, we got
a good time.
We got a little time, sure.
Okay, I just want to make sure we get them all in.
There was one time in 1992, as a JT Journal Times story that talks about you meeting an older woman at Festival Park at an event you're broadcasting for something, and she had a different vision of what you looked like.
Oh, I remember that.
Based,
I tell that story.
Based on your, she listened to you all the time,
right?
And then she finally met you, and she was kind of dumbfounded. Right?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
You didn't look like you sounded.
Oh yeah, right. Okay. Oh, I thought you had audio.
No.
I was at, I believe, a political rally.
Okay.
At Festival Park, and the lady came up to me and she goes, "And you're Tom Mountain?"
With that look of what?
I said, "I'm sorry, I'm not blonde hair and blue eyes."
I expected somebody good looking. If I was good looking, I'd be on TV. On radio.
That's right. There's a reason we're on the radio.
Face for radio.
Yeah. Wow. So you left here in the year we threw you out of here. In what year was it?
14 years I was here.
2000?
Yep.
Okay, you left here in 2000. And why'd you leave radio?
I went to the dog track.
Why didn't you?
They put me in the newsroom.
Why do you want to leave radio though?
Just yeah, that too.
What's that?
Money. That's called money.
A little more money.
It's called money. A little more money.
Yeah, because you did a great
found
job.
The dog track.
What'd you do? Feed the dogs and walk them?
I was an announcer.
I know.
So I ran their gold club. I did some marketing.
They were laying Greyhound Park in Kenosha.
Put ads in the programs. Put ads together.
Were you there?
Did party with the puppies.
Sounds like just about in radio, doing everything you had to, right?
Yeah.
So when you were there, you left there. Did you leave before it closed down, or you left?
No, I stayed right to the end. We even went to Madison. We gathered a bus and took all our employees down there and tried one last little push to,
keep it open.
Keep it open, and it never happened.
That must have been hard. Having to work through those times because you kind of knew the end was coming.
Yeah, yeah. And so, then I just decided to, I was out of work for a little while, and I decided to try my luck at some of the local casinos.
No pun intended, right?
Yeah. Yes, pun intended. And I've been at Pottawatomie now for 15 years.
Whoa. We did a broadcast from there once with John Tesh, and I come with all this radio equipment, and security comes running all over the place, and we had permission to be there. And so I gave them a name and said, all right, because they were coming in with boxes of equipment.
You don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. But I gave them the name of the person, and they said, all right, you're clear. So we came with all this equipment, phone equipment and everything, and we did a whole radio show with John Tesh from there. As a matter of fact, from Pottawatomie, I was the host for John Tesh, who appeared there, and my co-host was Jane Matinere, who worked for another radio station in Milwaukee. It turns out she also works here now at Radio Park for WAUK, which is in our other studio here. She works there every morning, Jane Matinere. So it's a small business. You never know if you're going to run into people again. That's why you shouldn't yell at people and tick them off, because you never know when you're going to work with them again.
Especially now, it's a lot smaller.
Yeah. So you never had the radio bug again, huh?
No, not really.
Huh. I never got it out of me.
I guess I got it out of my system.
Wow. Okay. And you live in Milwaukee now? You moved out of Racine? Oh, you live in Kenosha?
I live in Milwaukee.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good.
It was in we touched on the fact that you left the announcing part per se and then shifted into the newsroom.
Right.
That was a case of we had an opening and you gave it a try for about a year, right?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
It was tough for you, and I know that.
Oh, yeah. In the morning, sometimes you'd be here till like 3 in the morning. Writing stories
for me
morning for the morning show.
I don't remember you in the newsroom.
And then I'd have to be back at 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
in the morning, to start my shift. So I just couldn't. I couldn't keep that kind of schedule.
Yeah,
I don't remember. Why did I block that out? I don't remember you in the newsroom.
I do remember that, and I know you. It was difficult for you, and you worked hard at it, and that was very much appreciated. And then eventually he left, and.
It's been 25 years. It's been 25 years. I can't believe it.
So you weren't in radio that long, though. 84, what, 87? 87.
14 years I was here.
14 years.
14 years.
I remember you came back here, and you did one more show on a Sound Off you hosted one time, and you didn't like it. You said, I don't want to do this. And because we tried to bring you back, because you're such a great talk show host. You had a great talent for it.
Well, thank you.
And we hate, there's a lot of talent in the business, but when you run across it, you don't want to let it go, and we didn't want to let you go. And you just said, no, I don't want to do it.
But he did show up for the anniversary.
Yeah, but we wanted him to do a talk show back on the station again. He didn't want to do it.
He didn't want to do a Frenchie thing, where Frenchie would show up every summer and do on-air work.
Yeah, Frenchie did half the year in Largo, Florida.
Yeah.
He played with the Lounge Lizard, Frenchie Boutin. He had an organ or everywhere. Piano, electric piano.
Yep.
And him and his wife went around to all these clubs, and he was the Lounge Lizard. He was the guy who played the music, had jokes, one-liners, and then moved on. Then he worked here. in his off season, he worked here in radio. Frenchie Boutin. He's also a legend. People still ask him, "Where is he?" Well, Frenchie passed on.
Yeah,
like a lot of people. Well, we're talking to Tom Mountain today. Tom was our talk show host for years on did a midday talk show on WRJN, and also joining us, Tom Karkle, former news director. Did you work any other jobs before radio? What'd you do?
Grocery store.
Oh, that's
right. My family
was
in the grocery business.
That's right. Mountain, yeah. Piggly Wiggly, right?
Right, yeah.
I forgot about that. In Mayville.
Mayville, Wisconsin.
Really? How did I remember?
Juneau, Wisconsin.
I can't remember where I left my car keys, but I can remember you worked at Mountain Piggly Wiggly
in
Mayville.
I didn't work for my brother. He didn't want me.
You owned Mountain Piggly Wiggly in Mayville.
My brother, yeah. My brother is.
How did I not know? Is it still there?
The grocery magnet. No, it's in the hands of a company out of Oconomowoc. I can't think of the... He sold the store. My brother is 10 years older than me, so he's happily retired.
It's not Ralph Malicki, is it?
No.
Because I know he still owns Piggly Wigglies.
No, I can't think of it.
Okay. Well, the buyer out of I forgot about that. So how come you couldn't work in your own grocery store?
He's my brother.
He knows the truth about you? I don't want my brother and I know. I know what he's going to do. He's going to mess up everything. He's going to put the cereals where the oatmeal belongs. And he's
but it didn't work out.
Oh, okay.
So I ended up at Viking Village up in Reedsburg, Wisconsin. I spent 10 years there.
In Reedsburg.
And then I have arthritis, and I couldn't do the job anymore. And they were nice enough to help me out and put me in touch with...
Put you on a bus and get you out of town?
Well, no, with the Department of Rehabilitation.
Yeah.
And I went back to school and took a two-year course at Gateway.
So where were you born?
1952.
No, where were you born?
Juneau, Wisconsin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So you're a local yokel. You were born in the state.
Oh, yeah, I've been Wisconsin... Born and bred.
Where'd you go to high school?
Juneau High School.
Okay.
We were the last class to graduate from Juneau High School. It became a consolidated district after that.
See what we're learning here today?
Wow.
See, you didn't know this either, did you?
No.
Yeah.
Wow, this is interesting.
We had 50. You were just saying you had 950 in your graduating class?
970. Yeah.
970? We had 50.
A lot shorter ceremony.
So right out of high school, you went into the grocery business in Reedsburg.
I attempted to go to college.
Attempted? It didn't take?
What? No.
Where'd you want to go to college?
I actually went to Eau Claire for 1 year.
Okay.
Okay, so everything's pointing away from this area. So how do you get down to the Kenosha Racine area?
That's a good question.
Well, that's why I asked it.
Well, it's a long story. I'll condense it.
Give us the good version.
I eventually got out of the grocery business. I ended up at, of all places, Kentucky Fried Chicken. And the place, that maybe I shouldn't even mention it. But anyways... They were building a grocery store in Reedsburg,
okay,
called Viking Village, and one of the girls that I worked with at Kentucky Fried Chicken, she said, "You deserve better than this." She said, "I know the owner of that store. Call him and see if you can get a job with him." And to make a long story short, I called him up. He interviewed me, and I ended up working at Viking Village for 10 years. And then my arthritis got so bad that I couldn't do the job anymore.
Okay.
And then I ended up with the vocational rehabilitation through the state, and they were able to put me through school. And I did a two-year degree program at Gateway, and then I ended up in. I wanted to do radio all my life. I grew up with Bob Berry.
Oh.
Who we just had on the air here a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
And I loved his shtick. I loved the way he ran the show, and I wanted to be the next Bob Berry, you know?
Yep.
And
you're not the only person to say that, by the way.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who got into radio because of Bob Berry.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, WOKY.
Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah. So he started in Hartford playing polka music.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. WTKM?
That's where it is. The Kettle Moraine.
Polka station.
That's where he started working.
Thank you, boys. Then he
came down to Milwaukee. Friend. He worked at all the Milwaukee stations. Yeah. He sounds great. He sounds like he did back in the 60s, Bob Barry.
Telling me that, yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't changed one iota. He was great to have him on the air. Yeah. And Chris Morrow, who's the president of our Southern Division here at Civic Media, he worked with Bob Barry. He was the overnight announcer, Chris Morrow, and he had to set up the morning show. And he said the first morning he was sweating because here's a legend coming into the building.
Right.
And this poor little teenager's got to set up the studio for him. And he worked with Bob Barry. So I had Chris in here when Bob was on the air with us. So that's what made you want to get into the radio. You wanted to be a Bob Barry, huh?
While I was going to school, I found the job at WNNO. And I
now that's in Wisconsin Dells.
Wisconsin Dells, and they had I can't do this, but they had a window, you know, like you could watch the people make fudge.
Yes,
or they could walk by and they could see me in the studio doing my show, and one girl walks by.
Oh, okay. You can get
it was a very derogatory gesture.
Yes, I'll never forget that. Never.
So I didn't know you worked at the Dells.
And then one day, I actually left the front door unlocked, and I turned around, and here's a guy standing right behind me, and I said, "Sir, I can't have you in here," and I thought this is going to be trouble. You know, he said, "Oh, okay." So he just left. He turned around and left. I don't know what prompted him to come into the booth, but they kind of scared the heck out of me.
So what did you do, work at Tommy Bartlett's Water Show?
I basically filled in, did weekends.
And how old were you when this was going on?
I was making $2.50 an hour.
How old were you?
20s?
30.
Oh, 30.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, 28, 29.
That's a fun place to work, the Dells. Not in the winter, but during the summer, it's a fun place to work.
Going on.
Yeah, okay.
Question. It made me think, did you ever have to sign on the station here? Doing the morning show?
Before it was 24 hours.
Filling in before somebody's on vacation or sick or something. We did
the morning show with Kurt Vollman.
But not, you know, signed on at 5:30.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah, because I don't really remember. A lot of stations went 24 hours during the Gulf War. And because they, you know, now they had a
continuous coverage.
So they kept, and when they went 24, they just stayed 24 hours.
But before that, it was 5:30 and we signed off at midnight. And I was just wondering if you probably can't remember.
At all.
The person who was on the board the night before had to stack up all the carts that we would play the next morning. You know, on a carousel.
And prepare the morning show.
You could pull them out, but you had to stack them all up. And so I wondered if you did the morning thing and say you came in and there were no carts stacked or something wasn't in place. Wow.
Can't say I remember that.
Amongst the remote broadcasts that you did, you were recognized by Neighborhood Watch. Mm-hmm. You'd mentioned that before. You must have had really good time and relationship with those folks.
Yeah.
You would go out and broadcast the Neighborhood Watch, and they would do National Night Out especially.
Right.
Where it would be in August, and they would do all kinds of community events, and we'd go out and broadcast. You would do that.
Right.
And you were recognized by them for attending them and promoting them and doing all that. Must have given you a lot of satisfaction.
Oh, yes. With Chief Paul Zien.
You were a good community
Going out in the neighborhoods, it was great. I mean, giving back to the community, giving them a chance to talk about all the things that they were trying to, you know, make these neighborhoods safer. With the community policing was a big thing back then, you know, and the different outlets. There was an apartment complex. I think it was 6th Street.
I'm not banging.
He's tapping.
It's really loud.
Is it really?
Yeah.
No.
Everything vibrates.
Oh. Wow.
That's okay.
No, there was a...
cop house, COP house.
What was that?
Community-oriented policing house.
No, yeah, it was in that neighborhood, but they cleaned up this one apartment complex.
Oh, okay, and what I know did, what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it was Sixth and Memorial,
yes.
Yes.
You know what's really good? It was a community station when you were here, and we're still a community station now. We still have, every morning there's another guest from the community in here. The Racine Traffic Safety Commission. There's always somebody in here, so it hasn't changed. And that's why when Civic Media bought the radio station, they used the phrase hometown radio refreshed. And that's, well, we are hometown radio refreshed. We're talking to Tom Mountain this morning. This is WRJN historical marker number 14. We're talking to people who worked here in the past. We want to get them on record because, you know, they may be subpoenaed someday. We want to get all the information we can on them just in case. Tom Carco, our former news director, is working with me this morning doing the program. I want to get to these clips. This clip is what now we're going to talk about.
Just play it. Let's see if it sounds familiar.
All right.
Joining me is a familiar voice. I'm sure that he's familiar with the program too, somewhat. Tom Mountain. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Jeff.
And you'll be here to...
I'm the color commentary.
Color commentary.
And I'm here to provide color commentary,
okay,
yes.
To throw in your two cents from time to time as well, right?
Yeah, a little hot air on the program here.
In general, you'll be helping me to get to know the ins and outs of the program, right?
Sure.
Oh, that sounds good.
So who is that?
That's Jim Walker, the late Jim Walker.
Oh, that's Jim Walker.
And you guys, he had, I think, been kind of putting the lead of Party Line after Debbie. Debbie left at the end of October of 96, and we had to fill that role. And so Jim was there, and then you were there. Until we tried something else, and that didn't work. But that's Jim Walker. You guys are trying to do Party Line and take that to the, you know, beyond what Debbie had done to, which was really impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Jim Walker and I didn't recognize his voice. Jim Walker and I worked together at 103.7, the old WEZW in Milwaukee, for 10 years. And when there was an opening here, I said, come on down, because he wasn't working. He was unemployed. I said, come on down here. You're a great announcer.
Yeah, great voice.
Yeah, great voice. I said, what are you doing at home sitting watching television? Get over here. And so we brought him over here, and he worked on our FM, which was an easy listening station. And then when the Party Line, we need Party Line fill-in, he worked there. I didn't recognize his voice.
Jim also did news for us as well, filled in on news.
Right.
It was, we lost him several years ago. And
Jim Polensky was his name, but Jim Walker's his radio name that he used.
Good guy. Really good guy.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I didn't even recognize his voice. Wow, he's got a great sound to him. I forgot. Yeah. A lot of people are not with us anymore, and Jim's one of them. Well,
let's talk about 1990.
Now you got me all flustered here for a second. Yeah.
You go sniffle in the corner. In 1995, Mr. Mountain here was honored as a friend of education. Horlick High School teacher submitted your nomination because of you hosting the talk show and talking about timely educational and political issues. And in the recommendation, the nomination, he is fair in his approach and welcomes school personnel for their side of the issues.
Right, right. Well, we'd get comments on the air regarding school board.
Oh, yeah. That was very popular.
Yeah, that was a very, very popular. One person comes to mind.
And we'll touch on that right after that. But, you had a lot of different
I just thought
people.
It was good to have their side of the story, I mean, you know, so to speak. I mean, it's only just fair to have the educators on to give them a chance to, you know, comment on things that were said over the air. I mean, it's just a good, made sense to me. I mean, it's good to follow up with that.
Yeah. Education, obviously, is a huge part of everybody, of budgets in a community. And the history of education in this community, especially going back decades, is something that people want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And parents are involved and others are involved. And so you got honored. Whoops. Hello. So you were honored for helping get the word out on different educational issues, from the officials with the Unified School District to the teachers union to even parents. And so that was a nice honor for you. So you mentioned this twice now, a certain school board member. Okay. Do you want to touch on this? Not a problem. You can say it any way you want to, but anyway, 1995 is when you got a certain phone call from a certain school board member, we don't necessarily have to name, and it, there was some interesting comments made by this school board member. You remember that?
Yeah, somebody should take him out back and teach him a lesson or something.
I remember that.
Something like that, wasn't it?
Yes.
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 And our general manager at the time, Tony Gazzana, actually called the police department because of it.
It was a threat, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You got threatened.
Right.
I remember that.
Made the front page of the Journal Times.
Attention you didn't necessarily want to have.
No, I didn't expect that.
Oh, man, I forgot about that threat.
Oh, yeah.
It maybe didn't surprise you, given the person who was talking at that time. But it certainly made got some attention around here and in the community itself.
Right.
Wow, I got to ask you off the air who that was. I remember. Well, hold on, I can't read lips.
Okay.
I'm not good at that.
Jeez, okay.
Oh, that was, I forgot about that. You were threatened. And yeah, Tony Gazzana took it seriously.
Well, yeah, he should.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Anytime you get something like that, yes, you have to take it seriously. And now, especially if something like that were to happen.
See, that's why I like doing these historical markers. All of a sudden, you jog my memory on things that, you know, happened years ago.
I don't think anybody would go for you because you're harmless.
I'm a disc jockey. What do I do?
Nah, you're more than that.
That's all I am. Just a disc jockey, another DJ.
Before we go, we're going to start to run out of time here. Let's do one more, the sound clip. Now, this is just a throw in and see if you can remember this at all.
I hope the Roto-Rooter commercial comes up because you and I used to dance to that almost every day.
Yes, that little ballroom dance thing.
We didn't do any dancing.
We used to sing with it and dance with it, yeah.
Wow.
That was Debbie Thogerson.
Oh, that was Debbie.
At the 1996 anniversary show, you were interviewing the Party Line group, and that's another thing. And she brought up a Roto-Rooter commercial, and you guys apparently used to dance. When it was played or recorded.
A Roto-Rooter commercial?
I don't have any idea, but
you've got me on this one.
I heard that, and I said, I've got to bring that in just to see. But
Roto-Rooter.
Right.
What do you do? Like the mambo to it? The twist? What are you doing to that?
That particular anniversary show was from 1996, our 70th anniversary at Memorial Hall. You had the privilege of... I wrote this down because I can't remember anything either. You had the privilege of not only interviewing five of the seven Party Line hostesses. We had five of them together at one time at Memorial Hall. There's a picture in the Journal Times of that. And you got to interview the five of them.
Wow, an honor.
Yes. You also in
the show. The show was a legend.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Legendary.
And the other two had left the station many, many years before. Also on that same show, you did a show that day. We all broadcast from Memorial Hall,
mm-hmm.
And you also got to interview Polish program host Tony Simchik, Milwaukee radio legends Jack Lee and Jack Baker.
Wow.
Jack Baker, by the way, his first radio job was at WRJN in 1945. You interviewed engineer Bernie Fox, former Mayor Owen Davies, County Board Supervisor Ruth Gedward, who was also celebrating her 70th birthday that year. And remember Norb Trottier.
Yes, I remember the name, yeah.
That's a unique...
Is that her 70th?
That's the 70th picture that Don is showing to Tom so he can see it. Pictures I've seen so many times.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at the lineup of that group.
Wow.
That's post office material.
No gray hair in that picture either.
Oh, there's no gray hair now. Right?
Yeah, well, yeah,
this is radio. Bit. This is radio.
A little bit. Not a lot. No, not a lot at all. Well, this was just fantastic having you in here today.
Oh, thank
you. And what we're going to do is we podcast all these interviews so people can hear them at their leisure on WRJN.com. You can go to just search Don Rosen Show and you'll see all the podcasts. I am so happy you came in, Tom. So happy we got a hold of you. I didn't know where you were. And Tom Carco said, I think he's spinning the roulette wheel up in the Pottawatomie. You know? Yeah. He's the croupier. Yeah. I am so happy you came in, my friend.
Well, it's great being here.
You look great.
Well, thank you.
You really do. And I'm so happy you're in here. And Tom, every time we do these, I'm so indebted to you for coming in and helping out.
Yeah, the notes are quite extensive.
Yeah, he's our muscle. He's our brains of the historical part of this show. Thank you very much, my friends. Tom.
Thank you. It's good to see you.
Tom Mountain, thank you. Tom Carco, thank you as well.
Thank you.